exploring solutions to the mental health crisis. This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to the Mind Medicine Program. I'm Charles Coves, your host. I'm Australasia's passion provocateur. So I'm going to provoke you to be passionate, I must say. This show is all about how and why mind matters. It's brought to you in association with Mind Medicine Australia. We explore insights into mental health issues, your mind health, and health issues of all descriptions, including planetary health, as our first guest today will share with you. Mind Medicine Australia, let me tell you about the important work of this wonderful charity in Australia. And this program is thrilled to support this mental health charity. MMA is Australia's leading not-for-profit organization working on the use of medicinal psilocybin. Some people call it psilocybin. I don't like psilocybin because it reminds me of being silly. But anyway, psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies to treat a range of mental illnesses. Mind Medicine Australia exists to help alleviate the suffering caused by our accelerating mental illness epidemic in Australia and around the world, because this is a global program, through expanding the treatment options available to medical practitioners and their patients. Unlike current treatments such as antidepressants, which only manage the illness and can have nasty side effects, psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies have been scientifically proven to be a safe and effective cure for anxiety, depression, end-of-life stress, addictions, and post-traumatic stress disorder after just a short treatment program. None of this 10 years of being on drugs. These medicines are also currently being researched for dementia, eating disorders, and obsessive compulsive disorder. Results from over 160 trials indicate that the medicines are safe and non-addictive when administered within a medically controlled environment and lead to remissions in 60 to 80% of patients after just 2 to 3 medicinal sessions in combination with psychotherapy. There have been zero adverse events in over 3,000 patients. And dear listeners, you know what adverse events are these days, much more than you used to know before the scamdemic. But in these two drugs, there have been no adverse events. Both medicines have been granted breakthrough therapy status in the USA to fast-track their approval. This designation is only given to medicines which may prove to be vastly superior to existing treatments. Mind Medicine Australia is dedicated to helping the rapidly emerging global movement to spread awareness and ensure these medicines are available via the medical system. Go to its website, mindmedicineaustralia.org.au, and there are trial programs on. So if you know people who would benefit from this wonderful solution, please bring Mind Medicine Australia to their attention, regardless of where you are on the planet. This show is also about passion, since I'm Australasia's passion provocateur, and it's linked to your mental health and to living life on your terms. And my proposition to you is, if you are pursuing your passion, if you discover your passion, or you're on the road to discovering your passion, your mental health will be in much better shape than if you wake up in the morning and you're going, "Oh, not again." No. When you are pursuing your passion in your work, you wake up in the morning and every day is a wonderful, wonderful experience, regardless of how difficult it is. That's why I provoke people to discover and pursue passion. Now, this show is also about freedom, and TNT Radio is about freedom and fighting for freedom and fighting for truth. And I say that freedom is what makes us truly human. That's why one of the greatest threats of government that leads you to observe the law is the loss of freedom via imprisonment. Without freedom, I say you and I are not much different to animals. So in my life, not only through this program of provoking you to understand the threats to freedom, but I carry out this fight for freedom through 5 channels. Number one, preserving the freedom for you to pursue your passion. Imagine living in a communist state where you wake up where your job is what the state dictates to you. No chance of pursuing your passion. You do as you're told. And that's what happened to my parents. That's why they left Hungary, came to Australia as refugees. because they didn't want their lives controlled by communism. And I urge all of us to be aware of this threat of communism, which is socialism on steroids. Number two, I inspire people I work with to be free through excellent health. If you're in hospital because you're unhealthy, it's very difficult to be free. Number three, I help preserve freedom through the expansion of industrial hemp. And one of the keys to preserving freedom is successful, profitable, sustainable family farms. That's why I'm passionate about hemp, driving the hemp message. I'm CEO of a hemp company, but hemp is one of the ways we're going to preserve our freedom against rapacious government that wants to control what we do. Fourthly, I fight for freedom through legal strategies. And fifthly, I'm chairman of the Australian Institute of Comedy, fighting for the freedom of thought and speech, for humor, comedy, and laughter. And suppressing free speech is the beginning of the end of freedom. So comedians are under huge pressure these days to have their comedy being woke, being politically correct, and don't you dare say anything against the left because you will be cancelled. And comedians are in big trouble. All of us need to support comedians for their right to be as funny as they choose to be. So I hope this is raising your awareness about these important issues. Now, before I introduce my first guest, who is Nikki Florio from California, it's 10 o'clock at night for her, 3 o'clock in the afternoon for me here in a Saturday. But let me tell you, dear listener, I am making a great sacrifice because in Australia now, and you might be listening to this live, but you might be listening it on a recording on a podcast. It is grand final day for Australian rules football, and this is as big as the Super Bowl. Like, this is big stuff, and I'm missing the game because I'm here with you, everybody. So how about that for a sacrifice? I beg your sympathy. Let me put it that way. There is big news I just want to touch on, is the excess deaths in Australia, in America, in Canada, in Europe. The numbers that are coming out are damning, of massive, massive increases in over the last 3 year averages of deaths. And I say that these excess deaths are being driven by the scamdemic, are being driven by people dying from the jabs, but also being driven by the consequential impact of a vast range of government actions. Now, government will tell you that these excess deaths are nothing to do with the jabs. I say BS, and don't be swayed by government lies. Observe these excess death numbers. The question of what the causation of someone dying, that is a complex issue, but you look at the adverse events that are being reported that this station keeps reporting on, and you start to go, a lot of people are dying, and I'm predicting there's going to be many more people dying, and you start to look at the drama, the disaster that has been foisted on humanity by united, corrupt government action. And one other point before I introduce Nikki Florio is, this week, one of the top football clubs in this country was two of their senior coaches were accused of racism, were accused of forcing players, black Indigenous players, to have their spouses or their partners have an abortion. Now, what troubles me about this as a legal strategist is that the player or players who are complaining about this behavior from some years ago, their names have not been released, and the accused coaches who are named, but the player was not named, they have been, the media has been going nuts about these accusations on these coaches. And now the formal review has been started. But just think about how easy it is for people to throw accusations around. You don't give a person an opportunity to defend themselves or give their side of the story, and then the media go nuts, and then there's a review, but their reputation is forever trammeled. And as a matter of law, I urge all of us to not jump to judgment. It's so easy to just jump to judgment, and it harms people enormously. And this is a mind medicine program. This is about mental health and the impact on the mental health of people who are judged by the masses can be hugely negative. So there's my editorial. It's great to be with you. I just point out my first guest is Nikki Florio. My second guest in the second hour is Wendy Daniel, an amazing lady who was born in the UK, came to Australia, and who has been on an amazing learning journey. So you'll find out about different health elements from Wendy in the second hour. Now, Nikki Florio, who has waited patiently. Nikki is a superstar. And I first met Nikki, well, I met her, and then I organized for her to present to the Medical Doctors for COVID Ethics Group. And I, along with many, many people, have been blown away by her work. She is the founder director of Be Heroic. So it's B-E-E Heroic, and its website is beheroic.com. It's an adult-focused pollinator, climate and sustainability nonprofit based in California and Colorado, places I've been to both. I've been to, Nikki, you'd be pleased to know. Nikki grew up in the Central Valley in California, moved to Lake Tahoe as a young adult. She fell in love with the region and attended several colleges where she earned her degrees in natural sciences and humanities with a focus on environmental psychology. Now, that's an interesting, I don't know what that means, environmental psychology. I'm going to ask Nikki. Nikki designed the Tahoe Regional Environmental Education Program, which held one of the first fully integrated sustainable business, lifestyles, and education programs in the USA. Her educational programs go from primary through to collegiate level, combine natural sciences with true sustainability and conscious consumerism, using hands-on, minds-on, proactive methods of education. Her sustainable business and community projects range from organic expos and green family events to green building and fire-safe, sustainable green building expos and seminars, green business consulting and green schools project, And I point out that from hemp, you can make most beautiful, wonderful green buildings from hempcrete that are just an amazing carbon sequestration, carbon locking in process. Nikki worked outdoors hundreds of days a year and around 2009 started noticing drastic changes in weather events, noting everything from system changes to animal behavior and plant effects and insect behavior. This was when she first delved in the science of geoengineering. And what I learned from Nikki blew me away. And the pictures that she shares, sadly, I can't share the pictures, but she'll tell you where you can see the pictures of geoengineering in action. She moved to Colorado, where she founded Be Heroic at that time. And prior to the pandemic, Be Heroic had been touring for several years, presenting on the issues and technologies surrounding the current pollinator loss, which can lead to a mass extinction event. When the pandemic hit, and like me, Nikki, I'm sure call it a scamdemic, she saw the same fear-mongering that was used to fool people into believing the last false flag, which was 9/11, which we've just been talking about in the news last week. And she immediately knew it was a scam and started working with various partners on freedom projects as well. That's what I love about Nikki. We're into freedom. Today, she's working on freedom and environmental action steps for those interested in preserving our extraordinary planet and the thoughtful people within. Nikki Florio, that is a great, great background that you have. And I wanted to share that because the journey that you've been on is very relevant to what we're going to be talking about. So welcome to the Mind Medicine Program.
Thank you so much, Charles.
Now, I love this. I really want you to hit our listening audience hard, okay? I want you, if we keep behaving as we're behaving, to really hit us between the eyes about what we're doing to our planet. What's the consequences? Because you've got here on your bio a mass extinction event if we stuff the pollinators. Give us the horror story.
Well, we are currently in the sixth great mass extinction event. And most people know about several of the past events. The most common event that people know about was the extinction of the dinosaurs. But there are extinctions that go on daily throughout global history. So about a dozen or so to two dozen or more plants and animals going extinct every day is a natural extinction rate. Today, we're at 200 to 300 species of plants and animals each day. And people who are older, they remember when they were kids seeing a lot more insects and birds and amphibians and reptiles and things around their homes and in the evening around lights and things like that, but they're gone. And the foundational animals and insects, they need healthy soils. And without healthy soils that are being contaminated by everything, that the insects don't flourish, and then all of the other animals that eat them don't flourish either. And that's only, I mean, that's one tiny little aspect of it among all of the impacts that they're having with eco-destruction right now.
So just explain, what does it mean? Because in Australia, we've been getting a lot of media about bee populations being decimated. What, just explain, because I really didn't understand this until I'd heard you speak, you know, that if we don't have bees, or, well, I want to talk about 5G as well, because you also opened my eyes to the impact of 5G electromagnetic frequencies being radiated everywhere, and it is clearly having an impact on humans. So what sort of impact is that having on birds and insects?
To kind of go back just a bit, the three biggest impacts on the planet right now are agrochemical and chemical companies with pollution, and geoengineering and 5G. So geoengineering sets the atmospheric table for 5G. So once you have the atmosphere controlled, you can have satellite-to-ground communications more fluidly. So once you have that, the goal of the IoT or the Internet of Things is to create an electrosmog around the planet. Now in telecommunications, we've gone from hertz to megahertz to 5G, which is in gigahertz range. So that's about a billion cycles per second. And those are very short waves, they're millimeter waves. They don't go very far. So you have to add millions of new towers. There's around 450,000 proposed and working satellites that was set in 2022. You can see more information on that on the 5gspaceappeal.org website. But with insects, and all small animals are affected by this, and of course microbes are too, so surface layers of soil and all the microbes that live on all the plants. And plants absorb the millimeter waves and it makes them toxic. So you have the pollen and the nectar that's coming out of plants is toxic. So all of the pollinators, not just ants, but all of the beetles and butterflies and moths and ants and everything that pollinate, in addition to bird species that pollinate. And then killing off these insects has a huge chain reaction in the food chain.
Wow.
Does that answer your question?
Wow. I'm just gobsmacked how wonderful, you know, so how wonderfully you articulated that, but the threat that we look at these insects, you know, we complain about insects. If my grandchildren are terrified of bees, you know, "Grandpa, there's a bee." They call me Papa. "Papa, there's a bee," you know, and they rush interestingly, I've been bitten by a bee twice, and I'm allergic to bees, and I swell up like crazy. So theoretically, I should have an EpiPen handy, but you know, I'll take my chances. But I knew bees were relevant to pollination. Indeed, I'm a big fan of Buckminster Fuller, Nikki. You know, and Bucky was always on about sustainability. And you know, he would talk about the precessional effect of what we do, and you don't know the precessional effect of this conversation, because people will listen to this conversation and you awakened, even though I've had an organic farm since 1976, the way that you explain what's happening was amazing. But Bucky was talking about precessional effect of the bee, and the bee thinks its purpose in life is to go and get food to make honey. But in fact, in its purpose in nature is at 90 degrees to its action in getting food from plants. Its bum is pollinating the plants, and that's its true purpose in nature. So perhaps your true purpose in on the planet, Nikki, is at 90 degrees. You're like the ripples in the pond from the work that you are doing. So this impact on food, this impact, you know, the agrochemical, we'll talk about that after we have a short break, but it's impossible for us as humans to be healthy if our environment is not healthy. And before we go to the break, you know, people are getting sick of this word sustainable. Now, you know, what is it? Sustainability, it's a big word, isn't it? So how do you, when someone says to you, what do you mean by sustainability?
Well, sustainability is the use of resources in a manner where it can be replenished as fast as you're using it. That's just a basic, simplified explanation of it.
That's a beautiful explanation. That's a beautiful explanation.
Yes. If you don't mind me going back to pollinators.
Please, please. Well, hang on. We'll go back to the pollinators. I'd love you to go back to pollinators because I'm so fascinated how these tiny little things are being impacted by 5G. And yet our future, if we don't have pollinators, we're stuffed as a race. Everybody, I'm talking to Nikki Florio from California, where it's 10 p.m. at night for her. I'm Charles Koves. You're on the Mind Medicine Program. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes after this short break on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I mean, you have the government, you know, labeling parents who speak up at school boards, terrorists, domestic terrorists, of course. And you have everything from teachers don't have to report to parents. Once they're in the school, it seems like teachers and the teachers' unions now believe that they own the rights to your kids when it comes to even if the kid wants a sex change or wants to use a different bathroom or wants to be called by a he or a she if they're the opposite and they don't have to tell parents. And I mean, it goes down the line. And what concerns you the most as a parent, and in your view, what should parents be concerned about the most when they send their kids to school?
You know, I think the most concerning thing is just the lack of transparency. The thought that parents don't deserve to know what's going on in schools and in their kids' education is so ridiculous, considering we all pay taxes and we all elect school board members, yet somehow we're told that we don't have a right to know what's going on.
Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
You're listening to Mind Medicine.
Mind Medicine.
Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Great to be back with you. I'm Charles Koves, Australasia's passion provocateur, hoping to provoke you to be passionate about freedom. And I'm in conversation with the wonderful Nikki Florio, who's going to keep talking to us about pollinators in general. I'm fascinated. Go for it.
So are you aware of the different ways that plants are pollinated?
No.
In general? Oh, okay. No. So, and not a lot of people are, and that's very common. So before the scope of pollinators was around, the ways that plants were pollinated when there were only grasses and trees around was through wind and water. So under the water, they're pollinated by currents, and in you know, on Earth, terrestrial plants were pollinated by the wind. And then as flowering plants appeared, what I call the great pollination that co-evolved with them is what created our ecosystems and food systems. And pollinators are not just bees. Bees have been focused on, especially honeybees, because of agriculture. Because you can, they're considered livestock in the U.S. You can move the hives around, but there were no honeybees in the United States until the colonists came over. But there's 20,000 species of bees on the planet. The U.S. has around 4,000 species. I apologize, I don't know how many Australia has. Most of the bees on Earth are solitary. You have mason bees and digger bees and tons of different various types of solitary bees that don't live as long as honeybees. Honeybees are families of bees. All bees descended from the wasp. The wasp was around before flowering plants, and then it adapted, which is why you sometimes see wasps pollinating as well. But wasps and beetles, which is the largest class of insects, and ants and moths and butterflies, they all pollinate. All insects pollinate, and not just insects. There's tons of species of birds and bats and small mammals and other animals that will intentionally or inadvertently pollinate. Sometimes they're just going after the nectar. Sometimes they'll go after a different food source. And some of the insects and animals cross over. But in ecosystems, the flowering plants that you see in ecosystems, not just farms, they are there because of pollinators as well. And they help keep those plants going for millions of years. And they have produced oxygen and food for millennia. And they help stabilize soils. They also help build soils. So without these pollinators, we wouldn't have a lot of the ecosystems that we have today, even in riparian zones, wet zones, like marshes and meadows and things like that. So while we do like to focus on the bee and we love the bee, it's not the only one of the pollinators that's important. They're all extremely important. And even insects that nest, like wasps and bumblebees, they don't contribute the same way the honeybee does, but they're just as valuable.
Wow. Okay. That's wonderful to know. Tell me about a butterfly. I've always wondered what a butterfly does in the universe.
Well, that's like asking what a human does in the universe.
Nice. Okay. Very good.
Every animal and insect has a place. We don't always pay attention to it. But there are some specialist pollinators as well. And in the butterfly species, in the same way that there are bee specialists, you know, bees that will pollinate a particular plant, even flies, and the male mosquito is a pollinator. So they're all valuable in their own way. But specifically, I couldn't tell you a butterfly.
Okay, they're all valuable. I love the idea. They're all valuable in their own way. Now let's turn to geoengineering. And I've been a subscriber to Geoengineering Watch. I think the website is and you mentioned another website. Could you just repeat that website again? You went so quickly.
So the one that I discussed was a 5G website called the 5G Space Appeal.
The 5gspaceappeal.org, wasn't it?
.org, yes. That's the
thank
the
you.
Largest.
Well, I just wanted our listeners to be able to find that. So come back to geoengineering. I subscribe to Geoengineering Watch. I had a friend of mine who years ago educated me on what was happening with chemtrails. I didn't know what chemtrails were. So can you talk about what's happening in the geoengineering space and the modification of weather?
Yes. So weather modification, a lot of people have heard that term. It's we've been doing weather modification projects in the U.S. and globally for almost 100 years, well over 70 years. And the website you mentioned, Geoengineering Watch, that's Dane Wigington's website. And he's recently created a video, a documentary called The Dimming, which is wonderful. But The Dimming, yes.
Thank you.
Because geoengineering, one of the terms for geoengineering is also called global dimming, which is saturating the atmosphere with particulates in order to block the sun. Mm. So by definition, geoengineering is deliberate large-scale intervention in Earth's natural systems to counteract climate change. And that's different than weather modification, which is at a much smaller scale. But that's the definition that we get from, for example, the United Nations and the Royal Society, and different states and countries have their own weather modification programs. Australia has their own weather modification programs. And with geoengineering, it's a separate group of technologies. You have aerosol technologies from commercial and military airlines and sounding rockets and balloons. For example, the Harvard University is doing the SCOPEX project, the Stratospheric Controlled Perturbation Experiment. But there are dozens and dozens of universities doing projects all the time. And then there's a military aspect to geoengineering, using geoengineering for warfare purposes. And there was a treaty written in the early 70s called the ENMOD, or Environmental Modification Treaty. And unfortunately, the United Nations treaty causes an inadvertent allowance for warfare using terminology. So, you know, you can do a project and say it's for peaceful purposes, but the downstream effect can be catastrophic. And even if you know that downstream effect is catastrophic, as long as you say you're executing this project for peaceful purposes, you can't get in trouble. And there's a wonderful document that was written by Drs. J. Marvin Herndon and Mark Whiteside. And their website is ourgeoengineeringage.org, and they have peer-reviewed publications on all of the impacts.
Our geoengineering
age.org.
Yep.
And then Dr. Herndon is a nuclear physicist, and he also has his own website called nuclearplanet.net, and you can click on the scientific publications on that. They're in both places. So under these three objectives for geoengineering, for climate mitigation to quote unquote help with global warming, and then for military purposes, the third one is for commercial purposes, using geoengineering for profit. So according to the CME, about a third of all industry on Earth is directly connected to the weather. And when you look at those industries, things like mining and transportation and communications and agriculture, ground-based telecommunications and things like that, and mining, all of these things in this one third of industry are the foundations for the rest of the industries on the planet. So if you can control the climate and weather around those industries, you have basically control over global economies. So when we present, you probably remember some of the images we showed you, where we could show how they would block entire systems from countries from going.
Yes,
in.
Well, you showed the one that really sticks in my mind is California. The clouds stopped at the western, you know, where California stopped with the Pacific Ocean, and the clouds just absolutely stopped just at when the landmass started. That was that was an amazing picture. That was such a sticky. What I'm always interested in, sticky ideas, sticky Nicky. You know, and that picture was a sticky idea. And then I think you said that by stopping the clouds coming over California, that can manufacture a drought in California for political purposes, for example.
Yes. So geoengineering causes a lot of downstream impacts. So sometimes they're intentional and sometimes they're accidental. And because they occur so often, the American Meteorological Society hosts a conference every 2 years called the Conference on Planned and Inadvertent Weather Modification. So every 2 years, occasionally they'll skip a year and do a third year, but we're on around the 22nd conference on planned and inadvertent weather modification. So for 44 years, they've been discussing these things that happen. And after 9/11, they really ramped up in 2001, they really ramped up geoengineering a lot, and it became so prevalent and modified the weather so drastically that in 2017, the World Health Organization created new cloud types. They listed around a dozen new cloud types with some subtypes. And the very first cloud type listed is homogenitus, or man-made. It's also called persistent contrail, persistent spreading contrail, which conspiracy theorists call that's what they call the chemtrails. And like you, I do not like the term conspiracy theorist, but here's the thing. It's better to wear a tinfoil hat than a dunce cap. So if you're going to think, you better think big. So the first cloud type, once the aerosol is lain,
tell us about the aerosolization, and then tell us about the impact on cloud types, or the alleged cloud type. So what are commercial planes doing? Because I was horrified by how this is all happening.
Yes. So commercial airliners have been modified. They've been retrofitted, and military airplanes are also used. They're all used. And so in order for a natural condensation trail to form, there are variables. And the very first variable is the engine type. You have to have an engine that will make a contrail if the conditions are right, right? Mm-hmm. But today, pretty much every 7-class plane, or whatever they call it, you know, 727, 737, 747, all those 7 planes, they all have a high bypass turbofan engine, where most of the air goes through the engine and never mixes with the fuel at any time before it's expelled out the back. So that's the first variable. And these high bypass turbofan engines are all a Rolls-Royce designed engine, and it's manufactured by over a dozen manufacturers, but it's the same engine. And it's not supposed to make a condensation trail. So when you're looking at a plane and you're looking up, you can actually see the plane type. You just go to flightradar24.com.
I'll write that down. Flight, that's very good. Flight, just for those who don't know, flightradar24.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
And at any time of the day, you can pull that app up if there's a plane flying over you. It's an app that people use to check their arrivals and departures and things like that, but it gives you the flight and the destination and arrival, or the departure and arrival places and things like that. Now, you'll also see military planes on there, so they don't always list everything, but they tell you if it's a military plane or if it's a FedEx plane or UPS, and so you can see. So anyway, that's the first variable. The other variable is it has to be above 30,000 feet at minus 40 degrees and at least 70% humidity. So for the first, 80 or so years of aviation, the only place you would see a natural condensation trail, it was on, I don't think the old DC-8s or DC-10s had the same engine, but in the northern latitudes, you would see it because it's very cold and very humid. And in the wintertime, you'd see this tiny little trail following a plane. But these big persistent contrails that you see, you simply can't have that. And you'll see different types of trails and different colors of trails. And then you'll see different separations of trails depending on the elements. So the Welsbach patent, for example, the Welsbach aerosol is aluminum, barium, strontium and sulfur and some other elements. And these are nanoparticulates, you know, they're a billionth of a meter. So they fall through, they come down in the air column. So you can actually take rainwater tests and see if they've been spraying this in your area. There's a wonderful lab in the US called the McCampbell Analytical that will test for it. And we've found it throughout the United States. There's a website called zerogeoengineering.com that has test results from all over the world. When I was working in Colorado, we took some tests and sent it out there to them so that they could post it. But there's also mycotoxins and chaff, which is a military aluminum-coated fiberglass that's used for geoengineering, and tons of other elements, iron oxides and derivatives of coal fly ash and things like that. So depending on the type of project they're doing to influence whatever type of weather, for example, steering hurricanes, and intensifying hurricanes, they can use coal fly ash or carbon black aerosols, and there's papers on that. In 2008, there was a meeting in Boulder, Colorado on hurricane modification. But going way back in military history, they've been doing it for decades.
This is amazing. We're about to go to a break, Nikki. Give us a sense of how much aerosolization has happened. Give us, you know, is the whole planet being aerosolized? Or because I was amazed. You would sort of go, well, what could humans do? But from what you're telling us, there's massive impact, such that the movie, The Dimming, is the reason why the sun's not getting through is because of this aerosolization. Is that correct?
Yes. We have, over the past 30 years or so, lost about 25% of incoming sunlight, which is why we don't have hard sunlight anymore. We don't have bright, crisp, clear blue skies. When you look up at the sun, sun is a blinding blob, but when you look back to the other side across the horizon, you see perpetual haze. And there's always, in the evenings, if you walk outside, you'll see rings around lights instead of just a crisp
light. Well, everybody, start to notice how it's changed. 25% of the clarity of sun we're missing out on. We've got to go to a break. I'm with the wonderful Nikki Florio. I'm Charles Coves, your host on the Mind Medicine program, and you're on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Stephen Friend, remember his name, and you might want to mention him the next time somebody tells you that FBI is not a completely corrupt organization. Stephen Friend is an FBI special agent, or was until Monday when he was suspended. Why was he suspended? For blowing the whistle on FBI being politically weaponized against Joe Biden's political enemies. Stephen Friend was a SWAT team member who was pulled off of critical investigations of child pornography, human trafficking, child sex trafficking, and put on January 6th cases that were misdemeanors at best. But he was ordered to SWAT those people. He complained through his chain of command about the violations of FBI rules and the United States Constitution and was rewarded with suspension. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas that can be fatal. Don't use anything indoors that burns fuel, such as gasoline-powered generators, camp stoves and lanterns, or charcoal grills. Opening doors and windows or using fans isn't enough. Have your vents and chimneys checked to make sure water heater and gas furnace exhausts aren't blocked. If you feel sick, dizzy, or weak while using a generator, get to fresh air right away. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Charles Coves. I'm with Nikki Florio from California or Colorado, wherever you are on the planet, Nikki. But for her, it's Friday night. For me, Saturday afternoon. This is a wonderful radio program going global. It's amazing. So, Nikki, before I want to talk about 5G, but before we do, have we covered off any crucial, or have we forgotten to mention any crucial geoengineering elements? Because Dear listeners, I think you should be horrified by the negative impacts of what this is doing. So is there anything we need to cover before we go to 5G?
Well, geoengineering is now being being pushed in the mainstream after being hidden for decades, because they want people to see it as a climate solution, and it simply is not. It's the primary driver behind the changes in the climate, and it's why they've had to change the terminology from greenhouse gases in the 80s to global warming in the 90s, and then now to climate change. So, because it causes such drastic weather whiplash and extreme hail and flooding and drought.
Yes, thank you. That is a beautiful summary. And the government narrative and big business narrative goes on, dear listeners, so that you are deluded into thinking this is wonderful, and you are deluded into thinking that all these problems on the planet are being caused by human beings. Well, indeed they are, but not in the ways that you think. So let's go to 5G, Nikki. I've been concerned about the health impact of 5G. Can you share some insights into why we should have any concerns about 5G and its impact on health?
On human health.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's on any health, because we're all so connected, aren't we? Everything's connected. So if parts of our planet become unhealthy, that's going to impact on us. But I'm particularly interested on human health, of what your research is showing, how 5G is impacting on human health.
Yes. So 5G, again, it goes to gigahertz, and we live it. I mean, we do best. Our physiology is designed for Earth. The resonance of Earth is 7.83 hertz. The resonance of our bodies is 7.83 hertz in general, and then it stays in the hertz range. So as you go up in these technologies to second generation, third generation, fourth generation, and up to fifth generation, you're doing extraordinary damage. And it's likely that your audience knows that the Great Reset and the vaccines and the metals and graphene in the vaccines can be impacted by microwave frequency. So in addition to what we're breathing in with these nanometals and they've recently found graphene in the aerosols as well from geoengineering. So everyone's inhaling it, even if we haven't been given the jab. So you want to do a heavy metal detox and clear your body as much as you can. But one of the best, very, very simple documents, if anyone wants to check it out, is written by Dr. Martin L. Paul. He's professor emeritus of biochemistry and basic medical sciences. He's a biomedical expert out of Washington State University. So he's outlined eight basic ways that 5G impacts our bodies. And it starts with the attack of our nervous systems, including our brains, and it leads to widespread neurological and neuropsychiatric effects. And this is from his paper. I'm actually reading this just because of time. It's easier to just focus on these all at once. It also impacts endocrine or hormonal systems. And in that context, the main things that make us functionally different from single-celled creatures are our nervous system and endocrine system. So that's a big impact. And then it also produces oxidative stress and free radical damage, which play essential roles in all of the chronic diseases, and it attacks the DNA of our cells, producing single and double strand breaks. Now, it also does this in plants and all of the other animals on Earth and insects. And so imagine what it's doing to microbes in the surface layers of the soils. And every tree and plant has a microbial community on every single leaf and every single pine needle and every single petal and sepal and every part of every plant. So these things just destroy plants. But to get back to the human impacts, it also lowers female and male fertility. It produces extra intracellular calcium and excessive calcium signaling, and it attacks the cells of our bodies. So the cancer rates go up drastically. So 4G goes up to about 30 gigahertz. It's in the megahertz range, but then it jumps to gigahertz. So people who are electrosensitive can feel even around 4G towers, but with 5G towers, you end up with a bunch of other physical impacts and ailments from it. But for children, it's especially dangerous. They have more body fat, their bones are thinner in their skull, so there's going to be a lot more pronounced cancer in children. In, I think, 2019, at a little elementary school called Ripon Elementary School in Central California, there was a cancer cluster of, there's about four kids that got cancer. And they were all below the age of 10, and they all had different types of cancer. They had brain and kidney and liver and lymphoma. And it took this cluster in order to get the parents together to actually take the cell tower off the property. The district had signed a 25-year agreement to have this cell tower on their property. Unfortunately, in March of 2020, when California was locked down, the governor Gavin Newsom allocated $1 billion to increase broadband and put 5G in every school.
Wow. So on every school property.
On every school property, yes.
Wow.
So another problem is with all the cells in our body, our eyes are very are special, because we don't renew our eye cells. I don't know a ton about this, but I know that those cells aren't regenerated as quickly as, say, our skin cells or obviously our teeth and our hair, or excuse me, our nails and our hair. But the propensity for getting cataracts is also big. And then when people carry 5G phones around, the radiation, you know, that all of this radiation that their bodies are absorbing is going to cause extreme health effects. So when you get up to 60 gigahertz, by the time you get up to 60 gigahertz, like when they were doing testing in Wuhan and the other cities, they probably brought it up to 60 gigahertz. It takes the oxygen out of the air. So your blood doesn't grab the oxygen molecules. And so you become physically distressed and your body doesn't get enough oxygen. By the time you get up to 90 to 95 gigahertz, the US uses 5G millimeter waves at that range as crowd control weapons, because it burns your skin. It's an easy way to disperse crowds and things like that. So we will never live to the 300.
So the 5G can go up to 300 gigahertz.
Yes.
Can emit EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, up to 300 gigahertz, which would kill us, essentially.
Well, yes. Oh, and once it's over 90, you can't walk down the street if you're.
Mm. Well, Nikki, you are an amazing source of information. You know, we've only got a couple of minutes to go before they throw us off. They only give us a short time, Nikki. But what I love is how you have raised this awareness for everybody. Because what happens is people don't know why mentally they're not feeling well, physically they're not feeling well, and they have not thought about these elements. And I know electronic engineers who say, "Oh no, 5G is safe." And I say, "Well, show me the research." Well, the testing has not been done, and the contrary, there's vast amounts of information shown about how dangerous it is. So you sharing this with us is so important. I've got lots of other questions. I really want to have you back again, because we've got to go deeper on these issues are so relevant to our survival of as humanity. And you know, I'm of the view that there's lots of people who aren't much concerned about the survival of humanity. Last question. I have heard about Faraday blankets. So coming to the side of, hey, how can we improve our health with all of these attacks on it? And I've heard about Faraday blankets that stop EMFs hitting us while we're sleeping. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, yes, you can get a Faraday canopy for your bed. And you're right, sleep is one of the most important things. That your body doesn't produce melatonin with 5G. You want to have that. You want to have your body protected. So there's some wonderful Faraday canopies. If anyone's interested, they could just email me. I can send some information.
Excellent. You can Google Faraday. Everybody, we're tight on time. Faraday canopy. Everybody, there are ways, and during sleep times, please be aware. Nikki Florio, thank you so much for being with us on the Mind Medicine program. I think understanding this impact on our mental health is so crucial. Great to have you. I will have you back. I'm Charles Coves. We'll be back after the news with Wendy Daniel. Stick around. Great to have you here.